We return today to John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 16. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Lord Jesus first spoke these words to Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, who came to consult with him by night on some spiritual matters that were obviously troubling his soul. But while the Saviour spoke the words to Nicodemus, he had a much wider audience in mind. I believe he spoke to every generation, and indeed to every nation. His words are as amazing and as wonderful today as the day he first spoke them. As I said yesterday, in many ways, they form a miniature Bible, the Gospel in a nutshell. So today I want us to think of this text as presenting to us the simple gospel, because it tells us in clear terms what God in love did to save sinners. I want us to think first of God's love. The message of the gospel is the message of divine love. God so loved the world. I want you to notice the order of the words. It's not "the world loved God," for that would certainly not be true. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 tells us clearly, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation," or the sacrifice of atonement, "for our sins." And that is the message of the gospel. It's the message of how a holy God loved this world of sinners lost. The meaning of God's love is clear. In the Greek text, the word "loved" precedes the word "God," and it's at the beginning as a mark of emphasis. So in other words, the text is saying not so much that God loved the world, as God loved the world. Now that's a very important point to make. It's not even that he liked the world or esteemed the world. Theologians speak about the love of complacency. That is a love that finds something in the object that it approves of. God does not look at us with approval of the state in which he finds us. No, he loves us, not because he can find something in us that deserves it. He loves us despite the fact that there's nothing in us that would deserve his love. It is a gracious love. This love of God is a divine choice to bestow his favor upon us. It is not a mere feeling of benevolence that God would love to do so much if only he could. No, this love of God is an unchangeable purpose. The Greek verb that is translated to love is a verb that indicates one with a purpose to seek the welfare of the person loved. God has an unchangeable purpose wherein he exercises his will to procure salvation for those whom he loves. That's the meaning of God's love. It's not some empty word. It's not some mere fleeting feeling. It is a deep-seated purpose of grace to bring salvation. The object of God's love is amazing. God loved the world. The world in all its wickedness. When you read Romans chapter 3, you get something of the spiritual anatomy of this world. You have God describing the world in all its wickedness, and he sums it up in Romans 3:19, where he concludes the whole world guilty before him. Men by nature are born in sin. Men by nature are depraved. That is, there is nothing in them that would love God and seek God on his own terms. There is nothing in them to merit eternal life. In all its wickedness, you think of this world. You think of the violence of it. You think of the vice. You think of all the filthiness of it. You think of all that's going on in this world, and it's being perpetrated by men and women of every kind. And yet God loved the world. He loved it in all its wickedness. He loved it in all its width. The world is a huge term. It's a term here that means he loves sinners of every nation and every tribe. The Jews were very exclusive, and they thought that they had the grace of God all wrapped up for themselves and no one else. And if anyone else were to receive grace, it would really have to be by becoming Jews. But no, God loved the world, not just of Jews. God's elect and believing people are scattered in every place throughout the world. The measure of God's love passes all comprehension. God so loved. Now the little word so, just two letters in the English language, is a vast word as far as meaning's concerned. It may mean God thus loved the world. God loved the world to such a degree. Or God loved the world in such a manner. You think of this, it is beyond comprehension. You measure it by its action. He gave his son. You measure it by its aim. He aimed to save believers in Christ from hell and bring them to heaven. Then measure it by its accomplishment. God's love accomplished all that it set out to accomplish. That is the salvation of every believer in Jesus Christ. All believers in heaven and in earth can sing, as we read in Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and that made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I want you to think today of the love of God. Unspeakable love, indescribable love, infinite love, everlasting love. Love that procured eternal salvation by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. Have you ever received the gift of God's love? Have you ever taken Christ to be your own and personal Savior? Have you ever simply said, Lord, I believe the gospel, and in repentance of my sin, I embrace Christ by simple faith as my Lord and my Savior?